Good afternoon, everyone. It is 3 o'clock p.m. September 15th. Too close? 2023, and we're doing mic tests at the moment. Is there anything I should be doing, Matt, to help you set that? Pardon me? Oh.
So while Randy is checking that.
While we're waiting for those standing, there are some open seats up here, and these seats are not reserved. Those are just some additional seats, so feel free to come and sit down. Does this one seem to be working better, and can you all hear me? Okay. So I call this meeting of the North Dakota Public into order. I am Commission Chairman Randy Chrisman. I am joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert to my right, and Administrative Law Judge and alternate decision maker in this case, Tim Dawson. And I do want to point out that Mr. Dawson is not just taking the easy way out and phoning it in here or anything. He is on a long planned professional conference. And it was one of the dilemmas we had on trying to schedule this in and yet be before our deadline to make a decision in this case, which falls at this weekend. And so this was the time when he was able to break away from his conference. And so I do not have any opening comments really to make. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, do you?
No, I have no additional comments.
Okay, and Mr. Dawson, do you?
I have no additional comments.
Oh. And now that I just said that, I'm going to backtrack a minute because I did have something else that I wanted to say because a lot of you are new to commission proceedings. This is a meeting as opposed to the hearings that we've had throughout the spring and summer. This is not the place for public testimony or anything, not even from the company or the opponents. This is for us to discuss. But we, because we take great pride and transparency at the Public Service Commission, we expected more than our hearing room might hold, and I see we were right. And so we arranged, thank you to the Legislative Council for allowing us to use this room. And we have it set up. But for those that are new, I want to point out one of the things that I'm really proud of with the PSC, and it goes back to way before my time here. Throughout the development of North Dakota's unparalleled telecommunications system, the whole development of coal mine reclamation laws and the expansion of that industry, throughout the wind industry, throughout the oil and gas development of long ago and more recently, the commission has had many hearings on those and other topics, and sometimes they become heated and confrontational and emotional. And the commission has run these things in a dignified manner where no one should feel heckled or abused or anything like that. So I ask you to, first of all, turn off your cell phones or at least mute them, and that includes us and our staff. We do not have signs waved around. We do not have people applauding or cheering or sighing or booing. Those things all have their place in an open society with free speech. This isn't the place for it. This is a place for a dignified meeting, and so we hope you will respect that. With that, as I expect at least many of you have heard in our previous work session, kind of the question before us today is whether we grant the petition, the reconsideration of our previous decision denying this application, or do we deny that? And another thing I'm proud of with the commission, we had a third option. We could let the time run out this weekend. I'd take the easy way out, and it would be, by law, deemed denied I don't know if it was tomorrow or Sunday or whenever. But we discussed that option, and I think we're all in unanimous agreement. That's not the way the commission runs. We're not taking it easy with it. We're going to come to a conclusion on this, and we're going to explain our conclusion, not that we ran out of time. And so our two options, and as requested, staff has worked on both options before us to grant the petition for reconsideration or deny it, and made that paperwork available to us to consider and think through and read and double back on the law and talk to our staff. And so now here we are together for the first time to talk about this. I will just kick it off by saying that after exploring it further, I mentioned at the previous work session that at that point, it seemed to me that the law was on the side of us needing to grant consideration. As I've explored it farther, and I will be open to discussion and being persuaded otherwise, but now having explored it further, I continue to feel that the law calls for us to approve a reconsideration. And so I'll just throw that out as a starting point and turn it over to my fellow decision makers to see where you each are standing.
Thank you, Chair Crispin. Like you, I've had some time to look at it and consider it. And what you brought up as 69-02-01-10 liberal consideration is look into this matter further. And upon doing that, I believe I still stand where I am, where I expressed the information brought before us based on the deficiencies in the original order that was a unanimous decision to deny it. Like you, I have not been persuaded.
So looking at that and looking at the order to deny reconsideration, as I read it, and am I right that the essence really of the denial would be the due breadth of the proposed changes. It says in here that because of the due to the breadth of the proposed changes, a new application is appropriate. And then that the evidence could have been presented earlier. Are those really the factors?
Yes.
For denial?
Yes. Yes, when looking at the order that we presented and by unanimous decision denied the route, and then looking at when they requested a petition for reconsideration and the evidence, the information brought forth, all of that information in the 6 months that we were hearing could have been presented. And it was sought after. When people, individual farmers were sitting, testifying, and even proposed on their own land a reroute, and that wasn't even considered. So that's what I'm looking at, Commissioner.
By the way, Mr. Dawson, please just chime in as if you were here, if you have questions. But in the meantime, I have some questions for you on what the result of this would be in the end. So first of all, on the due breadth of the proposed changes, that should require a new application. We've approved, for example, electric transmission lines for companies like Basin Electric that had significant reroutes. This year, we approved a wind farm that you voted for that changed dramatically from a year earlier when we had the hearings, in that in the hearings, they had a battery farm attached to it, so it would be usable much, many more hours of the year. By the time we made the decision, it wasn't anymore. So I don't know if we deny this on the premise that the breadth is too vast and so a new application is required, how much changes do you think is acceptable to make before a new application is required?
Well, first of all, Commissioner Crispin, those applications were not denied. They were not denied. So they didn't have to go through they didn't have to ask for a petition for reconsideration. In my tenure here, and it's been short, this is the only application we've ever denied unanimously. And when looking back at the history of the commission, I only know of one that has been presented to me that it was denied, and they did not seek a petition for rehearing. They made a new application. So when we work through these applications and we question them about reroutes, and they had 6 months to present the reroutes, work with the landowners, and they didn't. And now we get in the application or petition for reconsideration, 570 reroutes plus the proposed reroute north of Bismarck. Some of these things are huge and were highly controversial during the hearings. And again, they had ample time, 6 months, when there was a question by a landowner or anyone for them to submit rebuttal information. Those issues are huge. And I think they should, you know, again, I'm gonna say, this is a procedural issue. They have an option. We can either approve this request for reconsideration, or they can submit a new application. I'm asking them to pause and look at all the deficiencies that were in this initial application. Go that route.
Go the route of a new look.
A new application. Again, they had 6 months, 6 months on any issue that came up to sit and answer it, bring forth. And now they said, well, due to our statutes, we have 15 days. Is that a time type period? Yes. But I don't look at, they complied. Summit complied. The interveners complied with the response. But nothing was addressed. Hardly anything was addressed on those deficiencies. And again, I don't know how many times you want me to state it. They had 6 months. And the other applications that you brought up, they corrected that. They explained it. We had the information to make a determination, and all of them that you brought forth, I approved. I think the one that you're referring to, you didn't approve, but not for reasons of not having...
Not this.
Right.
So you threw out 6 months. Well, that's the normal timing of a rate case that we try to achieve. What is too long then? When we determine, we're setting a precedent here that other investors and people will go back to. And if we have months of hearings, and so many of the 6 months were ticked away by the time the last hearings were, and so we've always encouraged applicants to be responsive to things that came up in the hearings. And so at what point is it the denial, or is it a timing thing at which point you feel they can't change anything? Because what they've requested here is the opportunity to come with evidence and respond to the deficiencies.
Did you guys set a precedent, was the precedent set when the one application was denied and they did not submit a petition for reconsideration? They submitted a new application. So why wasn't that precedent set? Why are you looking at just this case for precedent setting? And you've already had a case that was denied. So I'm going to put that back to you.
Well, that was their choice of which route to go, whether, I mean, both options are available in law. You can file a new case. You can request a reconsideration. That's in the law for some reason. And they chose to do a new case. I'm not sure that any turbines in the new case were in the old one. It was more different than what this would be. Another question, though, that I have for you. So the vast majority of our time spent in 5 days of hearings was opposition testimony. If we go the route of the new application, all of that is erased. Even though we might know, let's say a particular landowner said something about the proposed route caused him or her some kind of significant adverse impact, and so it needs to be readdressed. And we know that now. But if we do a reconsideration, that is still on the record, and the company needs to respond to it, either persuade us that it's not a significant adverse impact or change it. But when we switch to a new filing, that testimony is gone. And that person probably thinks that we're smart enough to remember it. And we probably are, but we can't use it anymore. It is wiped out. That causes me a great deal of concern. And I want to say it goes beyond that. I kind of made a list of some things that a lot of these were things that were not controversial, that the new hearing, even though we all know it, it will all have to be refiled, reheard, opportunity for other testimony on it, on the field tiling, the corridor width, the access roads that they were typically would repair or unless the landowner requests them. Topsoil segregation, our winter construction requirements, when they use HDD as opposed to open cut, their noise study. We spent extensive time analyzing their SCADA center, the depth of cover. The opposition brought a quite interesting witness all the way from Mississippi to talk about the breach that occurred to a CO2 line down there in a new case. We don't know any of that anymore because it's not on the record. Those people would all need to come back in and resubmit all of that. And that causes me a great deal of concern to be that repetitive and knowing that a lot of the people who've been interested in this probably would not realize how an adjudicative process works and the fact that even though we know something, if it's not in the record, we can't use it.
I'll give you it's kind of a weak point for me, and here's why. When we have an application before us, and we've had very good applications, and everything is laid out there, you have road permits, you have agency response. Bear with us. Agency response, and it's all very thorough. It's all very thorough. So when it comes to us asking questions, many times we pass by and say we have no questions. where the questions might come from is, sure, we might have the interveners, but if everything is there in the application, what we are asking for, that were deficiencies, it can be expedited. Again, I'm just asking for a good application. And Mr. Crisman, you know that we've had some citing cases where it didn't even go into formal hearing. I'm not saying this won't. They were informal hearings based on such good application. But there are many things that don't have to be relitigated or brought through because the application itself should be well prepared. So I see your point, but I'm going to take a little opposition to it because of the presentation in the burden is on the applicant.
And they have requested an opportunity for a hearing to basically present exactly what you're asking for.
Well, I think in the order that I will present, it's a breath of proposed changes, and I am just not comfortable.
Mr. Dawson, did you have any questions on the denial option at this point?
I don't have any questions of Commissioner Hoffman, Augenhofer. there are good points that are being made here and robust conversation.
Okay. I'm going to make a few comments then in support of the motion to reconsider. I want to say at first that I fully understand that there are a lot of concerns out there on social media and talk radio, and frankly, a great deal of it is things that I may agree with, and some of it that I may disagree with, but it's not jurisdictional to us. Things like how much federal dollars is being used, that type of thing. Eminent domain is not in our jurisdiction. And so we have to stay within the law. As you mentioned, North Dakota Administrative Code 690206 clarifies this option for reconsideration. Yeah, it hasn't been done before, but I think we've probably only denied one other application. And that one chose the new application route because they moved it, if I recall right, completely into different land. If anything was the same, it was very little. And it's not just that administrative code, actually the North Dakota Century Code 283201 also states that an adjudicative proceeding includes reconsideration. And while our decision then on the reconsideration petition, I mean, I said it before, I'll say it again, there's not real clear legal standards here for what we should weigh on making this decision. Really, the only clear legal guidance that I see in here on how we are to make our decision is that it does call for, and I'm quoting these next four words, just, speedy, and inexpensive determination. I guess it's five words, sorry. To me, a bunch of those things that I named that were non-controversial, or even the controversial ones that, like, for instance, for the opposition to bring the gentleman back up from Mississippi, I don't know how repeating all of that would be looked at as being not speedy or as being inexpensive, or I mean, as being speedy or inexpensive. And for people who are concerned, I do want to point out a reconsideration does not grant either the corridor certificate or the route permit. It only allows additional evidence for the company to try to persuade us that they are addressing the deficiencies. I do want to point out, and I'll pause there. I want to make another point in a moment, but is there any questions or discussion at that point?
Well, my only comment is when we've already spent 6 months, it wasn't speedy at all, but we really didn't get anywhere, hence the denial. So, do I really think no matter what, be it granting this petition for reconsideration or a new application, we're going to have proceedings? No doubt about it. How we want to go about it, people elected us to make that decision, and I'm willing to take that on. And two other points with that. You said it's not clear the legal standards on this reconsideration. So that's, I think, where you and I are having a little difference there. It's not clear in some ways on what's required. And maybe that needs to be looked at. But inexpensive, yeah, I mean, what, you know, what are we willing to invest in to, in our time? I'm willing to invest. If I have to do 5 hearings again at 14 hours a day, I think that's what I was elected to do. And I'm going to do it. It's just, I want to make the right decision. And in order to do that, I need the right information. And just pausing and having them take some time and submit a new application, I think is in the benefit for all of us, for all of us.
I'll say, I don't think the just, speedy, and especially the inexpensive part was aimed necessarily at our expenses, but when we start over, and both the company and the opposition to this will be forced to redo everything they've done instead of us just carrying over those parts that don't need to be readdressed. They all face expenses too. That includes our counties, our townships, individual citizens who gave up days of their time to come and testify. That's everyone. It's not just our time and expenses.
Well, there was a lot of public that spent days and days. I called them my group, our groupies that followed every hearing in there that were there. We got paid. Attorneys got paid. A lot of people got paid. A lot of people gave up their time and their work to sit there. So, you know, we can sit and discuss every single word. You're going to have, I respect your interpretation, and I know you respect mine, and here we are to make the best decision. What's before us, this procedural decision.
Okay, I want to make one more point because I want it to be clear, and I know you know this, and I know Mr. Dawson knows this, but I don't know that a lot of the public realizes this, because one of the things we heard multiple times in testimony was people say something to the effect that I support oil and gas pipeline development, but this CO2, this is, you know, whatever their description of it was, but they were not in favor of it. That's a legislative decision. Back in 1993, the legislature put CO2 in the category in citing with other hydrocarbon pipelines. That's not a choice for us. We have legislators, at least one of them's in the room. That's their choice. If they want different standards for CO2, you tell us, I'll follow them. But until they do, this is the law that we are required to follow. And make no mistake, when we make decisions here, we do set precedents. And there are investors out there. And when we think of the oil and gas industry, and someone's interest in potentially building out maybe a new natural gas line, like was proposed a session or two ago, that the legislature actually encouraged to try to get natural gas from western North Dakota to eastern North Dakota, that sort of thing. Oil pipelines, there's been discussion of the potential for our biggest carrier potentially getting shut down by the feds next year. And that if that were the case, it may need to be re-sited. If we are going to sit here and say that when we find deficiencies, they can't resolve them without a hearing, and we're not going to have a hearing. To me, that sends a message that we are kind of creating a Byzantine bureaucracy here that I think is really much like we see with a lot of the federal environmental agencies that are, exactly what they're doing with permitting and mineral leasing laws, where the options are out there in the law, but the people working in the agencies don't like the law, so they just find ways to keep dragging it out and pushing it off, and no one can ever get their environmental review done and done permanently. No one can get their minerals leased. And to me, that's what I see us doing here. There can be all kinds of arguments that CO2 should have a different category than oil and gas. That's for the legislature to decide. There can be all kinds of arguments that building a project because of federal programs to encourage CO2 sequestration is a bad policy. But it's not our policy to make. It's the federal law that we live under, and we take an oath to support the laws. And I just feel like that's the direction that's required in this case. Not necessarily what I like, but that is required.
Well, as you were talking, Randy, I sit and think this. I hope that this does not deter anyone. I think it's a really weak argument that if I am asking the applicant to file a new application and it's based on the deficiencies that were presented in their first case, our history here at the Public Service Commission and my history shows that I support energy development, economic development. And I looked at the cases, again, I'm going to say, since I came here.
But I'll look.
Wow. Okay. I want to say that since I've been here, 10 cases have been filed, received. Now, some of these cases that have been approved were received prior, and not one have I denied. So to sit and say that I may be against energy development, economic development, is false. It's false.
I know, that's my fear.
Mr. Dawson, did you have anything to add at this point? If not, I think we're probably ready for a motion. Which I as portfolio holder will make.
That's what I think I'll do. Jackie, I know we still got this. That's what's even funny. Well, that's what we can do today.
Can you mute it?
Muted, Jason?
Can someone mute the live mic in our PSC 12th floor hearing room? In the meantime, he's talking to our staff upstairs about that hearing room. Mr. Dawson, are you hearing us okay? I think you're muted. Mr. Dawson, you're showing up as being muted on our screen. One of the reasons why I'm not a big fan of virtual options and meetings. So, Mr. Dawson is in, I'm looking to Victor just to make sure I understood right, but so people know what's going on. Mr. Dawson has indicated that he's been hearing us. We're just not hearing him. And so he's having him recall in. But I'm quite sure he's not been out of the loop on the discussion.
Is there anyone there?
Hear you now. Are you hearing us all right?
Yes, I am. Okay.
Mr. Dawson, because we had this, I just want to clarify whether you were able to hear us throughout that.
Entirely throughout. I could hear you very clearly. There was robust discussion between you two.
Okay. Did you have anything to add to that discussion before we would get to the point of a motion and potentially a motion to change that motion?
All I had to add is that I thought there were good equities brought up on both sides as to whether there should be a new application or whether we should rehear. And when a person looks at those, it's a tough decision. I think, though, that if we use the law that says that there is a just and speedy and inexpensive means of determining things, I think that gives more weight to the side of approving the reconsideration. So it's how you look at it, and I think in the end it may end up looking a lot the same no matter what. There may be just separate means to the same end, but there is this administrative convenience standard that has to be addressed somehow. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, at this point then, I'm going to make the motion to approve reconsideration, and so I'll do that right now. I move the commission adopt the order on petition for reconsideration in SCS Carbon Transport LLC, Midwest Carbon Express CO2 Pipeline Project, citing application case number PU-22-391.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
So for my part, I think the discussion has been had. I really have nothing further to add in support of it, except for to reiterate that we don't have an option here to differentiate between a CO2 pipeline as opposed to how we would treat oil and gas pipelines, for instance. We don't have jurisdiction over eminent domain, and we don't have a say in determining whether some of our federal laws and such are wise or unwise. We have the law that we have on siting that the legislature has created to give us guidance on behalf of the people of the state. And I think that how this option for the company to get a chance to address the deficiencies, as well as holding on to the things that are in the record and important but weren't deemed as deficiencies, I think is the just and legal response in this case.
Chair Christman?
Go ahead.
I move to substitute a motion to adopt the order on the petition for reconsideration, denying reconsideration in CSC's Carbon Transport LLC Midwest Carbon Express CO2 Pipeline, citing case number PU-16-539. I'm going to, we need a second first.
You would need a second.
Is there a second? Last call, is there a second? Substitute motion fails for lack of second.
I will open the floor, though. You can say probably whatever it is that you would have said as far as the substitute motion, which apparently does not have enough votes to pass.
Okay. I just want to read a little bit of my discussion point, just reiterate it, and then have a final statement. Like I said, this application was filed October 17th, 2022. We went through numerous hearings, long day hearings, but very informative in some ways on what were the deficiencies of this application. On August 4th, we issued a unanimous decision on finding of facts, conclusions of law, denying the application. And then in timely manner, on the 18th, CSC did file a petition for reconsideration. In looking at this, as Commissioner Christman said, we've discussed some of this, but I just want to emphasize it. In support of its request for reconsideration, CSC submitted that with additional evidence and testimony provided during a limited hearing that they were requesting, summit would demonstrate that it has met its burden by meeting the requirements of the Siting Act and Commission regulation. In support of its petition, Summit proposed extensive route adjustments, a reduced corridor, and a litany of deficiencies and reroutes that are or will be remedied by the time of the rehearing. CSC also provided that there will be witnesses available at the rehearing to address all these deficiencies during the rehearing. I look forward to hearing from all those witnesses that you propose to bring forward. A request for additional hearings and an opportunity to present this evidence could have been submitted at any time prior to the issuance of our order. The arguments and evidence provided in the petition could have been presented during any of our multiple hearings over the last 6 months that the commission provided for the evaluation of the application. Due to the breadth of the proposed changes provided in its petition and the reasons set forth in this, my proposed order, I did recommend a new application to address the materials. So this didn't receive a second, but I would agree with you, Randy, Commissioner Chrisman, that no matter what, we were going to end up in the same place. We were. If we denied this, we'd get a new application. Obviously, the petition for reconsideration is granted, and so we are at the same place.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Dawson?
Not at this time.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, I'll go to a roll call vote. Chair Chrisman.
Aye.
Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Nay.
Substitute decision maker Dawson.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, with that, we are about ready to adjourn.
Substitute decision maker Dawson, being that you are not in the room, would you like to designate a signer?
Yes.
And who would that be, please?
Who is available?
Jack.
Mr. Hsu?
Yes.
Yes, I'll designate Mr. Hsu.
Thank you, sir.
Good catch, Mr. Call. I appreciate that because it is important that we have that on the record that someone else will write his signature.
Chair Chrisman, I don't think when doing your... Could you read your motion again just for clarification? Well, I have it in front of me. I'm sorry. What I'm going to ask you to do under the order on your final page.
I think I'm getting to that, but okay. If I don't, when we wrap up.
Okay.
Please tell me that maybe I don't understand the question.
Okay.
So with that, Mr. Hsu will sign for Mr. Dawson. At this point, the company can now, I guess, prepare the evidence that they sought to provide to us to persuade the commission that the application meets the legal standards. And I will tell you that based on the deficiencies laid out in the previous denial, I'd say that evidence will need to be substantial. At some point, we will need to determine a hearing schedule and clarify the issues to be considered. that's not planned yet. I don't know when that'll be. Now we're at this point, we'll figure that out as we go. One thing that I just do want to lay out to the my fellow decision makers on this case. My personal opinion is that I think we need to consideration, we need to consider a decision on the motion that was made to declare county ordinances preempted. That was made much earlier in the denial. The two of you chose to just declare that question moot since the denial took place. Well, now the case is back before us. And the counties have these ordinances. The question will ultimately need to be decided. We can't run from it forever. So if we wait, I don't know what the decision will be among us, whether to declare them preempted or to have them be used. But if we wait one side or the other, we will be forcing to waste a lot of time. If our decision is that the company needs to live up to these county ordinances, and we can read the county ordinance, and there it's pretty much impossible for this to be built in these counties with them in place. And so what would be the point of having the applicant go out and work on new right-of-way easements and solving the other deficiencies if in the end it can't be built because of the county ordinances? On the flip side, if we're going to preempt the county ordinances, which I'm not revealing anything new, I argued 5 weeks ago that the law is crystal clear that on hydrocarbon pipeline projects, the county ordinances are preempted. If that's the way we ultimately decide, why would we have wasted during our now upcoming hearing process the county's time defending their ordinances, the public's time coming to tell us how we should follow the county ordinances? If we wait to decide, there's only one thing for sure, because we don't know what the ultimate decision will be. But if we wait, the one certainty is that we will have wasted a lot of someone's time. And so as we're contemplating our issues to be considered and our hearing process, I think we all should contemplate whether we want to make a decision on that motion, which may require the company to resubmit their motion. I don't know the technicalities of that. But.
Well, I would say to that, Chair Kirstman, bring our proposal as the chair and portfolio holder, bring a recommendation towards us on how to expedite then some of your concerns.
Anything else for the good of the order? Mr. Dawson, I'm going to ask you specifically just in case we're not hearing you.
Yes, nothing for me.
Okay, with that, I thank you for pulling away from your conference for a bit here to make it possible for us to, even for those who might disagree with the decision that's made today, I hope the people recognize and respect the fact that this commission doesn't slough away from its responsibilities and decisions, and we make them publicly and we defend them. And so with that, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.